Next week, we're going to take this teaching and move it to a little bit of a different type of thing. Next week is where you get to participate more than usual in the teaching time. The whole front is going to be loaded with pairs of two people who will be ready to pray for you so that you can come and say, I've been hurt, I've made bad choices, somebody's done some bad things to me in the topic of sexuality, and I'd like for you to pray for me. So next week, I'm going to teach a little bit into the healing on this topic, and we've got people set up to pray for you throughout the service. That's next week. Now, let me remind you before I get into today's topic that we've agreed to a few things. In this topic, we've agreed that we are going to be kind. Say kind. And we've agreed that we're going to be careful. Say careful.
Careful.
And we've agreed that we're going to be grace-filled. Say grace-filled. This is what we're going to do because the topic has been so mishandled by the church over the years. So many people have been hurt and bludgeoned by the church. That's just not right. So we're going to be kind, careful, and grace-filled as we talk through this series, The Elephant in the Room. Porn and erotica is our topic. Now, we did dismiss the kids because we wanted you parents to have the final say of when you talk about such topics with them. Did you hear me say the word when?
Yes.
Parents, I said when you talk about the topic with them. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I guarantee you, kids even as young as that left the room have been exposed, some of them, to pornography already. So we're going to leave it up to you as to the when you're going to talk about it. But parents, please do not shy away from the topic with your youngster. It's our job to give our kids a biblical worldview on such things. Do you agree?
Yes.
At that age. So my first exposure to the topic, pornography, happened in fourth grade. That age right there. What I thought was an innocent walk home through the woods with my brother Jason after a long day at school turned into something much less innocent. On the way home in the woods, we found someone's stash of magazines sealed against the elements in a clear plastic bag. And I often wonder, what if that bag would not have been clear and we hadn't have seen what was inside? Years of struggle and heartache for me would have been avoided. So we discovered these pornographic magazines when I was in fourth grade. And what happened after that unfortunate discovery was maybe a year or two of curiosity and draw. What is this about? But when puberty hit in its full force, something went horribly wrong in my world. And because of what I discovered in the woods in fourth grade, I became an addict to pornography. Starting in sixth grade, maybe even a little earlier, I could not go a day without seeking, longing for, and finding some form of pornography. And this lasted for me on up into my early college years. In fact, it wasn't until I was like a sophomore in college when I began the hardcore pursuit of freedom from this addiction. An innocent walk home in the woods turned out to be so uninnocent. Pornography. My brush with the topic of erotica novels also began in an innocent kind of way. And not so long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, one of my favorite things to do in life, in fact, my most engaged in hobby, is reading fantasy fiction novels. You know, the type where there are swords and maybe a dragon, certainly some knights, set in the old times and the good guys beat the bad guys. I love the fantasy fiction novels. So somebody told me that Amazon had free fantasy fiction novels for my Kindle. And so I typed in the Amazon search box, free fantasy novels. I learned a couple things that day. When I typed in fantasy novel, I was meaning something different than what most people, I assume, were searching when they were looking for fantasy novel. I learned that. And according to at least the cover art on most of the books that came up, well, the models pretty much lived on like raw meat and carrots, obviously. And because it was almost nearly naked men on almost every single cover, I learned that the erotica novel market catered to women. And so did you know that sexual addiction is the most prolific addiction in the world. There is no other addiction that is greater and bigger than sexual addiction. Did you know that there are more porn websites than any other website in the world? By far. Did you know that the erotica novel industry is a $500 million annual industry, and the percentage of women that buy those novels is about 85%, 15% men? And did you know that's about all the research I wanted to do on my computer, because I didn't want to type in porn and erotica novels much more? These things are prolific. And maybe it's safe to say, in general, porn has become a male problem, although there are females who wrestle with the porn issue. And the erotica novels has become a female issue, although there are men who wrestle with that. And so here's what I don't want to do with the topic of the day. I don't want to get up here and get my frown on. And I don't want to get my pointer finger out and say, shame on you. And I don't want to read the Bible as if it's a club to beat people with. Because my addiction to porn was made worse by people who did just that. I don't know how many sermons I had heard when I was addicted to the pornography where people would say, it's wrong. Jesus said if you look at a woman lustfully, you're going to hell. That's actually not what the text says, but that's what people said it said. And so, of course, hearing that shame and condemnation come my way, I was encouraged to break free from my shame, right? No. So I'm not going to do that. Rather, what I want to do is I want to do a few things. I want to hold up a biblical worldview around the topic. And upholding a biblical worldview around the topic of porn and erotica novels, I want you to wrestle with your worldview around the topic in comparison to the biblical worldview around the topic. I did do some more research on the damage of pornography and erotica novels in relationships. There's a ton of information out there from non-Christian sources that really prove the point that they're just not healthy. I'm not going to share any of that today. You can do your own research with your Safe Search on if you need. I want to give you a biblical worldview, and then I want to, well, you'll just have to see what I do. Biblical worldview, worldview number one from the scriptures. Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus is speaking to a group of people here in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, who had a tendency to get a little religiously hoity-toity. A little, I'm better than them because I obey all the Ten Commandments and I am pretty hot stuff. But what Jesus says in a minute is he takes the standard of the law and he expands it to something much greater than a list of rules to follow. And so he says, you've heard that it was said that you shall not commit adultery. True. But I say to you, that if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he has committed adultery with her in his own heart. See, what Jesus does is he takes a standard and he raises the standard even higher. Now, as a former porn addict, this is a very sobering text. If anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. Each man, the Apostle Paul would say, should have sexual relations with his own wife. His own wife. Implication, one, singular, in the flesh. And each woman with her own husband. Implication, one, singular, in the flesh. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife, her husband. The Apostle Paul is saying that there's something in marriage where there's sexual fulfillment that each partner is responsible for the other partner. And when we live in fantasy worlds, that biblical worldview is set aside. Finally, brothers, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, that other one was 1 Corinthians 7. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Let me just tell you, when I typed in free fantasy novels, none of that applied to what I was seeing on my computer screen. Let me read it again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it will be set apart for destruction. Regard it as vile and utterly detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Friends, let me just tell you, I know firsthand that pornography is destructive. And let me just tell you that erotica novels have a similar effect on the mind as it takes one into a fantasy place and robs the one that you're with. That's a worldview. It's really not what I wanted to do today. But I needed to do that today just to kind of lay a foundation. I really didn't want to spend much time on the worldview, but before I move from the worldview, do you all understand the biblical worldview? About 20 of you do. That's encouraging. How about the rest of you?
Yes.
You get it. From a biblical perspective, it's just not a healthy thing. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But that's not really what I wanted to tell you today. What I really wanted to tell you is pornography and the pursuit of erotica novels and living a fantasy life, it's not really a right or wrong issue. It is a right or wrong issue, but that's not the main point. The main point when we come to pornography and erotica novels, it's an issue of freedom. It's a freedom issue more than it is a right or wrong issue. It doesn't take much to convince somebody that it's wrong. That's not the point. The point is it's a freedom issue, and I want to tell you, this is where I can get excited. This is where I might scream and spit a little bit in the front row because I like this part. It's damaging what has happened to individuals throughout the world because of these two things. It's horribly damaging. It's horribly bondaging. I made that word up. It shackles. It binds. It breaks relationships. And I know this firsthand, and I know this also firsthand because when I started working for an organization about 8 years ago that wanted to plant churches across the country, I was kind of doing that on the side while I was leading the river. And my job was to train and equip church planters to start new churches. In 1 3-month period, the first 3 months that I was on the job, 9 church planters either got divorced or were in marital crisis because one of the partners was addicted to pornography. And of those 9 church plants, all 9 of their churches failed. Studies tell us that 89% of pastors have had or do have a pornography issue. And studies tell us that pastors are normal people like you. And so when I see this issue, yeah, the worldview is important, but I would rather talk about it being a freedom issue because I know that there are people in this room who are not free from this topic. And I know that there are people who, like me, who've heard people yell at them, you gotta stop, and it's not helpful. And I know that there are people in this room who feel the heavy weight of shame and guilt because of either the pursuit of erotica novels or pornography. And I want to tell you it's a freedom issue, and I want to tell you I know the one who can set you free. See, Jesus said, it was the homework last week, it's from Galatians 1. The Apostle Paul would say it's for freedom that Christ set you free. The Apostle Paul would say you're more than a conqueror. That is to say you don't have to be stuck in the addiction and the fantasy. You can be free. You are more than someone who's destined to fail your entire life. Jesus came, he said, I've come to set the prisoners free, in Luke 4. It's a freedom issue. And I often run away from doing what I'm about ready to do, but I'm not going to run away from it. I'm running into it today. I'm going to give you an easy step-by-step process on how you can get free. So if you're embarrassed to admit you have an issue, stop it. Because if you got a pulse, everybody in the room has issues. But if you want to pretend like you're taking notes for your friend that you know who has issues, you can just tell your neighbor, I got a friend who needs this. I think I have 4 things I want to say on how you can be free. Here's how you do not get free. Step number 1. You do not get free from your addiction to the pornography or the getting lost in the erotica novels. You do not get free by trying harder. So stop. Right, I realized early on, pretty much the moment my addiction to pornography began, that it was not a right thing, and I began trying hard to stop. I'm not going to do this. And I would go, you know, for maybe a little bit at a time, I'd have some success. But what would happen when things got angry or lonely or I got tired or I was hurt or something would happen? What would happen? No matter how hard I tried, I'd stumble and I would fall again. Here's how you don't get free from these two things. You don't get free by trying harder, so stop trying. The Apostle Paul would say it this way. He was addressing people who thought that their legalistic religious activities would be the way to freedom. He would say, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you yourselves be circumcised, that was their religious activity, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by the law, and you've been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. Stop. For it's through the Spirit that we eagerly await the redemption in which we hope. So if you know somebody who has an issue with either of these topics, tell them to stop trying. And if you're brave enough to admit it yourself, say stop trying. It's not your effort that's going to get you free. Now here's the three things that I think will set you free. Step number one comes from 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. Step number one to your freedom or your friend's freedom is to surrender to Jesus. Repeat after me. Duh. I ain't telling you nothing new. But what I am telling you, I'm not telling you, when I say step number one to freedom from these issues, and quite frankly, any issue, when I say step one to freedom is surrender to Jesus, I'm not saying do the church thing, right? You've heard it said as I have. Just because I'm standing in my garage does not make me a... And just because you're sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christ follower. You see, you can do the church thing and not be a follower of Jesus. And to be a church thing type person is someone who goes after the religious activity, and that stuff will not set you free. Religious activity will never set you free. In fact, religious activity, punching the religious clock, is only going to put you in more bondage. And so when I say surrender to Jesus, I mean every day, all the time. Or maybe it'd be helpful if I gave you a visual. You probably have never seen this before. Put your right hand in the air. Say, hello, me.
Hello.
Put your left hand in there and say, hello, God.
Hello, God.
Boom. This is what I'm talking about. For you to be free from any of your stuff. And let me just tell you, you're a bunch of bound people is what you are. And if you're free today, you might not be tomorrow, and you certainly weren't yesterday. You need to hear this. For you to be free, you need to surrender to Jesus. And so if Sunday morning is your Jesus fix, I'm telling you, that's not what I'm talking about. Sunday morning ought to be the kind of amp you up, worship God, get a little bit of teaching to carry you through the week, because it's your day by day by day by day intimate time alone with the Lord is where you will find freedom. Let me let you in on a secret. You can read the Bible yourself. And you can pray alone or with your kids. You don't have to be with me or the church to do either of these. In fact, I'm telling you, your life will be better when this happens in your life. I know it's true for me. This is the beginning of my freedom. When I was a sophomore in college, when I started getting serious about my faith, that my freedom began. This. You need to be intimate with the Lord. And so maybe that's the only thing you need to hear today, and the other two you can take notes and remember later. But maybe you need to say to yourself, you know, I've been playing church. I'm a pew potato. I got to stop. Maybe today's the day you say, Lord, I'm yours. That's the first step. And quite frankly, that was the easy step. Somebody say, thank you for giving the easy one first. Here comes the second one. Somebody say, oh, crap. James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. To each other? Oh, darn. Can't you just do that one privately? It says to each other. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So the second thing is you need to tell somebody you got an issue. Had somebody told me that like when I was in high school, this issue, you know what I would have said? Oh, crap. Because I erroneously thought I was the only one who had such issues. And I didn't want anybody to know that I had an issue. I had to pretend like I had it together, like everyone else obviously had it together. And if you're feeling that way, just look around. Everybody, just take a minute. Stop looking at me. Look around the room. Just look around. And I want to tell you what you're seeing. Look around. You're seeing a bunch of messed up, broken people who got all kinds of issues. You're not alone. Somebody say, I'm not alone. Somebody say, I got a pulse. And so do they. The second step's the hard one. You got to let people know you have a problem. Now, I'm talking about porn and erotica novels, but quite frankly, right, this applies to all kinds of things. You got to let people know. You got to let people know. You will never find full freedom from your issue, whether it's porn or erotica novels or whatever, if you keep it here. And let me just give you a little insight as well. People don't think you're perfect, so stop trying to be. People know you've got issues. And here's what I've discovered. When I began to tell people back when I was a sophomore in college, man, I got a pornography issue. There's a couple knuckleheads who I literally wanted to punch. I have anger issues, but that's another sermon. A couple people, I thought you loved Jesus. But that was only a couple. A vast majority of the fellas that I shared with said, you know what? Wow. I do too. And I don't like it. Maybe we could walk together into freedom. A vast majority of people found my admitting I have issues to be liberating for themselves. And in them being liberated with their issue, I got liberated for my issue, and together we found freedom. So when we started the church 10 years ago, I realized that the role of pastor is a great role to put somebody on a pedestal, and it's a great role for somebody to pretend and to dangerously pretend like they got all their stuff together. In part because pastors, some of us have egos, well, others have egos. And in large part because people sitting out there want somebody to put on a pedestal. People like you need, you think, somebody to put up there. Ooh, and that way you can have your person you look up there and you don't have to deal with the person, you could just deal with the position. And I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world. So when I started this church 10 years ago, I said, we're not going to do that. And one of the ways that we're going to get the people in leadership off of the pedestal is we're going to live naked and raw, figuratively. And so we made a commitment that we're just going to be open with the fact that we're broken people. And right at the beginning of the river, I called about 10 guys that I knew and I liked most of them. And I said, hey guys, let's meet on a regular basis and let's just live honestly. But I want you to know I'm going to share some really private and maybe scary stuff. So A, you got to keep it to yourself. And B, you got to reciprocate. And if you can't handle it, maybe you ought to not come. No. And so the dudes came, and what began was some very deep friendships where they know all the junk of my life and I know all the junk of their life. When I was working for this organization that I mentioned, helping plant churches across the country, I would have to travel and stay in hotel rooms alone. You know, hotel rooms have HBO and Showtime. What does that do to a porn addict? It's very bad, right? So before I even get to the hotel, I get a text from a friend, one of my buddies, saying, hey, remember, Showtime's bad. I'm praying for you. Or I'd be on another trip. Another friend would actually call me and say, hey, man, I got your back. Hang in there. You're more than a conqueror. This is good. I don't know if I'd still be free from porn if I never shared. Had I not shared with some of my friends, I might be an addict right now and you might not know it. The first step, you got to get close with Jesus. And quit playing church, but get close with the King of Kings. The second is you got to tell somebody you got a problem. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Here's a third thing. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus would say in Matthew 13, is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. He sold all that he had. Some would say he sold out. He sold out and went and bought the field that had that hidden treasure. He sold out for the joy of the treasure. He sold out for the joy of the treasure. You see, what I wanted to do in my lackadaisical pursuit of freedom is I wanted to half-heartedly go after freedom. That is to say, I knew where my triggers were and where my stumbling things were, HBO and Showtime being some of them. But it was okay for me to watch other shows on that channel, so I'll just sell half of what I have. You know, if this dude would have only sold half of what he had, he wouldn't have been able to buy that field where that hidden treasure was. He had to sell it all. So here's the third thing. You got to sell out to your freedom. You got to quit taking half steps and half measures, and you got to stop, and you got to say, you know what? It's all or nothing for me. Because you can't be half addicted and half free. You're either all or you're none. And so some of you have been dabbling, and I know, I'm not like shaming you. I've been there, I know. But I'm telling you, it's time to quit playing the game. And here's what I mean by quit playing the game. Just acknowledge you have an addiction and you like your addiction and you're choosing to stay in it. Because you can't be half in and half out. So let's just call it what it is. You know what? I know I'm half in because my addiction is enjoyable. And let's be clear, addictions are addictions because they are enjoyable. Very few people are addicted to driving nails in their eyeballs. People are addicted to things that at least initially are pleasurable and good. So if you're not selling out, at least be courageous enough to say, you know what, I'm not selling out. I'm choosing to stay in my addiction because I enjoy my addiction. And I'm not going to sell out. But if you sell out, you'll find a treasure that's beyond your wildest dreams. That same text in Matthew 13, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Looking for fine pearls. He means he's looking up for them. He's not just, oh, hey, look, a pearl. He's looking in a stack of pearls. He's looking everywhere he can. And when he finds one of great value, he went away, and the Bible says he sold half of everything he had. Right? Is that what it says? He sold everything he had, and he bought it. Your freedom will require everything from you. Now, this isn't a works legalistic thing. I'm not talking about religious activity. I'm talking about being rooted in Jesus, sharing in godly community, and selling everything you have so that you can find the freedom that God has for you. Sell out. And I'm guaranteeing you, as sure as any snake oil huckster of old, that if you do these three things, you'll find freedom like you've never had. I guarantee it. So the topic is sexuality, and we've been holding up porn and erotica novels. And I think God has freedom for you. I told you last week about my Uncle Morse. Right? My mom was the youngest of 11. Morse was the youngest brother in the mixed. My Aunt Bernice was my mom's second oldest sibling. The family was so big, there were so many of them. My Aunt Bernice had a son before my mom was born. So my mom was an aunt before she was even born. So she had a nephew who was a few years older than her. This was a crazy redneck family. But I remember going to Aunt Bernice's house regularly when we visited rural Indiana to play with my cousin Tony. And I think Aunt Bernice was really nice, but I really didn't know because every time we'd go over to Aunt Bernice's house, she was stuck in her lazy boy, and I'm not making this up, with stacks upon stacks of what she called romance novels. I picked up one of those romance novels once. They could have sold it on Amazon for free fantasy fiction. Literally hundreds of them. And she would honestly read three or four a day. And come to find out, she was a part of a group of women that would buy these books and then just pass them around and share. For hours on end, days on end, she would sit in her chair living a fantasy life. She was anything but free. And so as a little fifth graders, when I remember this happening, I wish I would have been able to tell her, hey, Aunt Bernice, this isn't a right or wrong issue. It's a freedom issue. And you're not free. I wish that when I was in fourth grade and I stumbled upon those pornographic magazines and that clear plastic bag, if somebody a little older, a little wiser would have come along and said, oh my goodness, son, look at that. You know what? You are drawn to that because God made you a sexual critter. But that's not the outlet that God intended. Let's burn these suckers right now. That's not for you. You see, as a young boy, I was thirsty for some type of connection, some type of affirmation, some type of something bigger than me that loved me. And I suspect that my Aunt Bernice, who had a so-so marriage, was a thirsty woman looking for something to quench that thirst of love and affection. You see, both the fourth grade Rob and the old Aunt Bernice were thirsty people who were given a thirst by God for connectivity, for affirmation, for love. It's a right thirst. So if you're stuck in either of these things, I want to tell you that thirst, it's a good thing. God made you thirsty for that. But neither of these is the right way to quench that thirst. She's been a trooper in our series, The Elephant in the Room, the woman at the well. I've referenced her almost every Sunday now. She is a woman who had her own sexual issues, and because of her sexual issues, she was shamed by the culture. And Jesus had an encounter with her, and he came up to her, and he never scorned her, shamed her. He said, yep, you do have five husbands or have had five husbands, and you're sleeping with somebody now who's not. He called the spade a spade. He said, here's the worldview. And he realized she was just a thirsty woman, literally, because she was at the well, but spiritually as well, because there was something going on indicative of her life that was leading to these poor choices. He says, yeah, you're a thirsty woman, but let me tell you, there's something that will quench your thirst so that you'll never be thirsty again. And then he went on to describe to her who he was and why he had come to the earth. So here's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who are firmly addicted to pornography right now. I'm talking to people who are firmly ensconced into the erotica novel thing. And I'm talking to people who are in either of those camp and realize that there's a problem. And I'm probably talking to people who are in either of those camp and say, there ain't no problem. And then I'm talking to people who have an issue with none of that and are wondering why we're giving a Sunday to this. But I could summarize those five groups into this. I'm talking to thirsty people. There's really one group of people here today. It's a bunch of thirsty people who, like the woman at the well, have a spiritual thirst for something more. And I want to tell you, like the woman at the well, that Jesus is the way to your freedom. So if you can only remember one of the three steps that I've given you, remember this one. Hi, me. Play along. Hello, me. Hello. Hi, God. Hi, God. Boom. This is why God told me to start a church 10 years ago. And it's why so many of you have already found your freedom. And it's the foundation that is about to be laid for some of you who are yet free but will be free.